It seems to be elongated. A yellow beard which surrounds it is emphasized with peculiar distinctness. Then follow the other two portions, again a thought and an image, which I omit. The interpretation of this dream was accomplished in the following manner. As the dream occurred to me in the course of the forenoon, I laughed outright and said, "The dream is nonsense." But I could not get it out of my mind, and the whole day it pursued me, until at last, in the evening, I reproached myself with the words, "If in the course of dream interpretation one of your patients had nothing better to say than, 'That is nonsense,' you would reprove him, and would suspect that behind the dream there was hidden some disagreeable affair, the exposure of which he wanted to spare himself. Apply the same thing in your own case. Your opinion that the dream is nonsense probably signifies merely an inner resistance to its interpretation. Do not let yourself be deterred." I then proceeded to the interpretation. R is my uncle. What does that mean? I have had only one uncle, my uncle Joseph. His story, to be sure, was a sad one. He had yielded to the temptation, more than 30 years before, of engaging in dealings which the law punishes severely, and which on that occasion also it had visited with punishment. My father, who thereupon became grey from grief in a few days, always used to say that Uncle Joseph was never a wicked man, but that he was indeed a simpleton, so he expressed himself. If then friend R is my Uncle Joseph, that is equivalent to saying R is a simpleton. Hardly credible and very unpleasant. But there is that face which I see in the dream, with its long features and its yellow beard. My uncle actually had such a face, long and surrounded by a handsome blonde beard. My friend R was quite dark, but when dark-haired persons begin to grow grey, they pay for the glory of their youthful years. Their black beard undergoes an unpleasant change of colour, each hair separately. First it becomes reddish-brown, then yellowish-brown, and then at last definitely grey. The beard of my friend R is now in this stage, as is my own, moreover, a fact which I notice with regret. The face which I see in the dream is at once that of my friend R and that of my uncle. It is like a composite photograph of Galton, who, in order to emphasize family resemblances, had several faces photographed on the same plate. No doubt is thus possible. I am really of the opinion that my friend R is a simpleton, like my uncle Joseph. I have still no idea for what purpose I have constructed this relationship, to which I must unconditionally object. But it is not a very far-reaching one, for my uncle was a criminal, my friend R is innocent, perhaps with the exception of having been punished for knocking down an apprentice with his bicycle. Could I mean this offence? That would be making ridiculous comparisons. Here I recollect another conversation which I had with another colleague, N, and indeed upon the same subject. I met N on the street. He likewise has been nominated for a professorship, and having heard of my being honoured, congratulated me upon it. I declined emphatically, saying, "You are the last man to make a joke like this, because you have experienced what the nomination is worth in your own case." Thereupon he said, though probably not in earnest, "You cannot be sure about that. Against me there is a very particular objection. Don't you know that a woman once entered a legal complaint against me? I need not assure you that an inquiry was made. It was a mean attempt at blackmail, and it was all I could do to save the plaintiff herself from punishment. But perhaps the affair will be pressed against me at the office in order that I may not be appointed. You, however, are above reproach." Here I have come upon a criminal, and at the same time upon the interpretation and trend of the dream. My uncle Joseph represents for me both colleagues who have not been appointed to the professorship, the one as a simpleton, the other as a criminal. I also know now for what purpose I need this representation. If considerations of creed are a determining factor in the postponement of the appointment of my friends, then my own appointment is also put in question. But if I can refer the rejection of the two friends to other causes, which do not apply to my case, my hope remains undisturbed. This is the procedure of my dream. It makes the one, R, a simpleton, the other, N, a criminal. Since, however, I am neither the one nor the other, our community of interest is destroyed. I have a right to enjoy the expectation of being appointed a professor, and have escaped the painful application to my own case of the information which the high official has given to R. I must occupy myself still further with the interpretation of this dream. For my feelings it is not yet sufficiently cleared up. I am still disquieted by the ease with which I degrade two respected colleagues for the purpose of clearing the way to the professorship for myself. My dissatisfaction with my procedure has indeed diminished since I have learnt to evaluate statements made in dreams. I would argue against anyone who urged that I really consider R a simpleton, and that I do not credit N's account of the blackmail affair. I do not believe either that Irma has been made seriously ill by an injection given her by Otto with a preparation of propyl. Here, as before, it is only the wish that the case may be as the dream expresses it. The statement in which my wish is realized sounds less absurd in the second dream than in the first. It is made here with a more skillful utilization of facts as points of attachment, something like a well-constructed slander where there is something in it. For my friend R had at that time the vote of a professor from the department against him, and my friend N had himself unsuspectingly furnished me with the material for slander. Nevertheless, I repeat, the dream seems to me to require further elucidation. I remember now that the dream contains still another portion, which so far our interpretation has not taken into account. After it occurs to me that my friend R is my uncle, I feel great affection for him. To whom does this feeling belong? For my uncle Joseph, of course, I have never had any feelings of affection. For years my friend R has been beloved and dear to me, but if I were to go to him and express my feelings for him in terms which came anywhere near corresponding to the degree of affection in the dream, he would doubtless be surprised. My affection for him seems untrue and exaggerated, something like my opinion of his psychic qualities, which I express by fusing his personality with that of my uncle. But it is exaggerated in an opposite sense. But now a new state of affairs becomes evident to me. The affection in the dream does not belong to the hidden content, to the thoughts behind the dream. It stands in opposition to this content. It is calculated to hide the information which interpretation may bring. Probably this is its very purpose. I recall with what resistance I applied myself to the work of interpretation, how long I tried to postpone it, and how I declared the dream to be sheer nonsense. I know from my psychoanalytical treatments how such condemnation is to be interpreted. It has no value as affording information, but only as the registration of an effect. If my little daughter does not like an apple which is offered her, she asserts that the apple has a bitter taste, without even having tasted it. If my patients act like the little girl, I know that it is a question of a notion which they want to suppress. The same